At this moment, the state of Kansas is ground zero for state-level election fights to defend legal abortion. With me today is Ashley Aul, spokesperson for Kansans for Constitutional Freedom. This is the coalition that is leading the battle to defend legal abortion in Kansas. Ashley Aul, welcome to KAPU.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Kansas for Constitutional Freedom is organizing to defeat Ballot Measure 2. Tell us about the ballot measure and the history behind it.
The constitutional amendment that is on the ballot on August 2nd would remove the current constitutional right to access abortion in Kansas and give politicians the power to pass any law they want regarding abortion, including a total ban. We are opposing this amendment and working to protect Kansans' constitutional rights and freedom to make decisions, private medical decisions, for themselves and their families, free from government interference. Abortion in Kansas is already heavily regulated, and this amendment is unnecessary.
I understand that in 2019, the Kansas Supreme Court found that there was a constitutional right to abortion in the current Kansas Constitution. Is that the reason that now the legislature has put this on the ballot?
Correct. In a case that they were looking at, they found a kind of broad right to personal autonomy. Kansans have a right to make decisions about their body, about their health care, life, future, work, etc. And within that, they found that Kansas women had the right to make decisions about pregnancy and about abortion care if they so choose, and thus have a constitutional right to access abortion. That is not an unlimited right. It is absolutely limited. There are restrictions and regulations in place. But yes, a limited right to abortion is in place. And after that decision, the legislature moved quickly to try to remove that right and put this amendment on the ballot.
Some people have said, I've read, that the ballot measure has been very confusing to voters because the name is something like Value Them Both, as if the constitutional amendment that they're proposing somehow includes women. How have you countered that in your organizing and your messaging?
There has been a lot of confusion about what this constitutional amendment does and what it doesn't do, and also what the law is and what it isn't in Kansas. And so we have worked very hard to make it clear that this amendment gives politicians the power to pass any law they want, including a total ban. They can regulate in situations of rape, incest, the life of the mother as well. That is something that is unclear. As you mentioned, the name of the amendment alone is called Value Them Both, but there are also other confusing words and language in the amendment, such as it mentions rape, incest, and the life of the mother, which could lead some voters to believe that those things are protected, but they are not. They absolutely can ban it in those situations as well. What is also included in the language is a reference to government funding of abortion. Government funding of abortion is already banned in Kansas. It's already outlawed, so it is really unnecessary language, but I think added to the amendment to make folks believe that that is something that is at risk. So yeah,
right.
It has been a pretty difficult amendment to explain to voters. And the other thing that I think is even more complicated is just the current state of the law, which the folks who are supporting this amendment have been fairly misleading about what the law currently is. They like to tell folks that it's not regulated at all. Abortion is not regulated in Kansas, but that is absolutely false. It is heavily regulated. It's banned
right.
After 22 weeks. Government funding of abortion is already outlawed. And there are numerous other restrictions, regulations, and safety regulations in place, including parental consent, mandatory waiting periods, mandatory ultrasounds, mandatory information that's provided to patients. And that doesn't even include all of the regulations and restrictions and requirements that are placed on clinics just because they are health facilities that are regulated by the state as well. So those are kind of the two big areas of misinformation that we have been trying to combat through our work. And some of that is through communication on television and digital, but a lot of it is also, we've been doing quite a lot of phone banking and canvassing around the state, trying to help voters understand exactly what's at stake here.
Yeah. I wonder if also one of the challenges that you faced was that in addition to the misleading character of the proponents' representation of this constitutional amendment, that they put it on a primary election in the middle of the summer.
Correct.
I wonder if it was difficult to get people, to encourage people on our side to register and to understand. And there must have been a registration deadline at some point, too.
Yes, that was an extra obstacle for us. There obviously have many things stacked against us, but we're still working hard and cautiously optimistic. But it was absolutely a challenge. In Kansas, the deadline to vote in, the voter registration deadline to vote in this primary was July 12th, and we did push as hard as we could to get folks to register. And in fact, there was quite a large increase in voter registration in Kansas prior to that, which is encouraging. Obviously, that is not all probably one side, mm-hmm. but it is encouraging. You know, in Kansas, roughly 44% of registered voters are Republican, 26% Democrat, and then there is a big group of unaffiliated voters that make up about 29% of the electorate. And they're registered to vote, but they do not affiliate with a party, and so they do not vote in partisan primaries, which is what this typically is in August. This is highly unusual to have a constitutional amendment that takes away the rights of Kansans on a primary ballot instead of a general election mm-hmm. ballot, but we are doing our best to make sure folks understand that they should, can and should vote on August 2nd. And so this comes down to whether those unaffiliated Kansans show up and whether all the registered voters on either side show up. So we'll see. We'll continue to push. Some of that is also we're doing that through phone banking and text banking and canvassing as well, just making sure people show up on or before August 2nd.
Yeah, I read in one place that voter turnout is actually forecasted to be fairly high, unusually high for a primary. So it looks like maybe both sides are motivating their voters.
Yeah, I do think that people are motivated. The decision at the end of June to overturn Roe, I think, was a wake-up call for a lot of Kansans, a lot of Americans, quite frankly, but a lot of Kansans, folks who weren't necessarily very engaged, but when that decision happened, they realized that they no longer had protection at the federal level for their rights. Mm-hmm. And so we really did see a surge in volunteer engagement and Kansans who want to be active and help in their communities. And that has been encouraging. I think it's still going to be an uphill battle, but we are definitely encouraged by the amount of energy that we've seen just in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, when you talk about new voters and people getting newly energized, can you give us a sense of who they are? Do they tend to be younger or do they tend to be women?
You know, I mean, I'm not sure exactly. We haven't got data on the new registered voters. We're working through that right now.
Right.
But what I can say
is
that,
your volunteers?
You know,
mm-hmm.
We've definitely seen, it's actually been kind of across the board increase. There's obviously interest from some of the usual suspects, people who are engaged on this issue all the time. They continue to be kind of the core volunteer group. But we've seen a really exciting and interesting expansion of younger activists, but also older women who are really upset and frustrated that something that they believe, I think they already had fought for, is now in question. And so, you know, I had a really lovely conversation with an older woman in Wichita who told me a story about her grandmother who had died from an illegal abortion and how it had kind of destroyed their family. And she was out canvassing in 95 degree heat, working very hard on behalf of her family. She was doing it, you know, in memory of her grandmother. So we have a really inspiring mix of age groups, of political leanings, you know, across the political spectrum, not just what we would consider young progressives. We have older progressives, we have older moderates, we have older conservatives, and even, you know, libertarians who just don't believe that government ought to be in your business.
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Johanna Brenner here speaking with Ashley Aull, who is spokesperson for Kansans for Constitutional Freedom. That's a coalition organizing to defeat a proposed state constitutional amendment that would end constitutional protection of abortion rights in Kansas. We've talked about some of the challenges that the pro-choice side is facing and some of the ways in which voters have been energized and are coming forward to volunteer to help this effort. Ashley Aull, can you talk about what are some of your main messages to voters in Do you have different messages directed to different constituencies, or?
You know, we really don't. One of the things that we've based our message on was the language of the Kansas Supreme Court ruling back in 2019, which gave Kansans the right to personal autonomy, personal liberty, the ability to make decisions about their body, about their health care for themselves and their families, free from government interference. That has resonated not just with progressive voters who are engaged on this issue, but across the political spectrum. Most Kansans, I would probably say most Americans, believe that some of these decisions about pregnancy and whether or not to continue a pregnancy or whether to get an abortion ought to be made by a woman, her doctor, and her support system, whoever that may be. And so we've really focused on that, and that is something that across the board resonates with Kansans, and I think probably resonates with a lot of Americans. I think that that is something that we've found has worked, and really a lot of Kansans are kind of in the middle on this issue. In politics, I think people like to divide us up into two groups and push us to different polar opposite sides, but that's not necessarily the way a lot of people think about certain issues, and I would say this particular issue is incredibly personal, incredibly private, incredibly complicated for a lot of people, and so we really do try to make it about personal choice.
I think that's very interesting, that the core message that you have. I'm wondering, too, if there are other ways in which this issue resonates, I guess, across other issues that women are facing. One of the feelings I think many of us have is that abortion is the kind of tip of a wedge that's part of a much broader Christian, religious right, ethno-nationalist, white supremacist movement. And I wonder how you see this struggle in that context, the fact that whether you win or lose, it's going to be a close race. And is it in some ways a commentary or a response to that broader agenda?
What I have found probably the most inspiring in this campaign, and I have worked in politics in Kansas for a long time on candidate politics mostly, but I have been really inspired by the coalition of voters who have really got engaged with our campaign. And it is not just one type of person. They're a broad group of some people more libertarian, more conservative, some more progressive, but also even amongst our supporters, we have a lot of clergy and of different denominations, folks who work with different groups and communities all across the state. I think what is important to remember is that a lot of Kansans, a lot of Americans are in the middle on this issue and many other issues. And really what the way we start to bring back access in states like Kansas that tend to be considered more conservative and just in other states is by having conversations with people who may not completely agree with you, but finding common ground and realizing that we are far closer together than I think we typically think when we look at politics in this country. I think politicians tend to want people to be on their very clear partisan side, but I don't think that that is actually where the vast majority of Kansans or Americans fall. They fall somewhere in the middle. And so really, if I've learned anything during this campaign, it is to bring more people, broader groups, the table and have conversations about what common ground you can find on issues. Because while somebody might not agree with you on everything, they probably agree with you on the important things. And that is how we start to build back access and protect rights for people in this environment, I think.
You know, it's an interesting point. One of the facts of most of the abortion restrictions that were passed prior to ending Roe were aimed at making abortion care difficult to access and under the guise of protecting women or protecting health or so forth. And I wonder if that's something that you found in talking to people, that the idea that these laws or restrictions are particularly harmful to people who have fewer resources and less access to funding.
Yeah.
And the kinds of support you would need to access a difficult, when abortion care is difficult to access.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely true. these laws disproportionately harm poorer women, people who have fewer resources to seek health care in the first place. That's why all the stories, the heartbreaking stories we've seen in the news since the decision in June, just amplifies that and just puts this larger spotlight on that. You know, women who have had health care delayed or their lives put at risk because the laws are now incredibly vague and complicated, and lawyers are making the decision about health care instead of doctors, which is a recipe for problems. You know, not only that, we've seen heartbreaking stories of young children who have had to, after being victimized, have been further victimized by being forced to travel distances to get care. You know, those stories are going to continue, and that is not the kind of place I think the vast majority of Americans and Kansans want to live in. That's not where we are. That does not follow our values. We understand that there are situations where abortion is necessary and important, health care, and I think we'll see access be restored if we can come together and find common ground. And most people agree on those certain situations as being critical for women.
Well, Ashley, all that is a very hopeful note to end on. And we certainly wish you the best of luck, and we'll all be pulling for you on the vote on August 2nd. And we've been talking with Ashley All from Kansas for Constitutional Freedom, who are fighting against a ballot measure that would essentially make abortion illegal in Kansas. Ashley All, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.